Well, the reading today is taken from 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 23. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elijah, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory.
Thank you, Kate. Today.
Good morning. Much better. Much better. Right. I won't ask you to stand up. Can you stand up? Right. Find the partner quickly and pray one word over the person and say, "Lord, I want you to speak to my brother or my sister today." Can you do that? Off you go, quick. Pray for the person, yes. Amen? Have a sit down. Right. Why I did that? Because what you are going to hear is what it should be happening in your life. What you speak out over your brother or sister today is what it should be happening in their life. Amen to that? Thank you. I like that. Come on. I need this. I am Egyptian, guys. I cannot work quiet. Okay? Keep me some feedback. That is good.
May God just bless you as you speak for him today.
Amen.
Amen. Let him speak for you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Right. Greatest story. It has been offered to you through the children. Fantastic. Paula did a good job. But let's just get our lens and focus a little bit more into this part of the Bible, because it's really important. We have the series talking about?
Man.
Thank you. Good. We are talking about man. Is that correct? Yes. Right. Last week we talked about who? Scratch, scratch. You know, the seven guys stand here, and yeah, here we go. David, good, good. Yeah, we are still awake. Good, good. Right, we are going to continue focusing on man. Focusing on man. What we are focusing on, if you look to this part of the chapter, is talking about three guys. There is more, but we will focus on three. First one is the prophet Elisha. Second one is the servant of the prophet. And third one is the king of Israel. Three guys, three men. Three guys, three men. Let's have a look and focus into their life. Because what you will see, two pictures happening to each one of them. One of them is God's picture about them. Is God's design about these guys. God's standard and manual for these people. And their own way of acting to this manual. Or this standard. Or in another word, their personal DNA. Right? Therefore, if you focus in each one of them, it's a very, very important piece. Take it backwards. Let's start with King of Israel. King of Israel, the manual of him, according to God's word, as followed, a man after God's heart. A man who has a relationship with God. He knows him, and God knows him too. They have that type of relationship. A man who has been anointed to be a king of Israel. A man who is a mighty warrior, not just a warrior. Is not just a soldier, is a mighty warrior. A man who is able to shepherd God's people. Where does that standard come from? It sounds familiar, like last week. Is that correct? Sound like David. This is the manual God make for the people of Israel. If you have a king, that king has to be in that format. This king has to follow that procedure. He has to be in that particular DNA. This is her personal makeup. This is how she should look like. This is why when Jesus came, they don't call him the son of Joseph. They called him the son of David. It's Emmanuel. He's a king of kings. He's a DNA. He's a personality. Right. How does this guy respond to this personality? If you read in 2 Kings, what we looked at today, is a guy who likes to have his the meal. He doesn't bother. What does it mean? It's not somebody preparing his food on the table. No. He doesn't bother to take his anointed on. He not bother to be a mighty warrior. He's not bother to be the one who can take these people forward. Where does that come from? The prophet Elijah, the man of God, sent him a message, said, "Oh, be aware, the king of Aram is going to meet you in that particular spot. Be careful, go and fight him." Doesn't happen once, twice, so many times. Great. Have a sit down, have a relax, and it's coming to me. One, two, three point of his character is out of the window. Why? He's not a mighty warrior. Somebody told him, "Hey, this guy is over there. Take care of them." Okay, that's a good job. I'll do that. He's not the anointed man to spend time before the Lord and ask him, like everybody in the Old Testament, "Shall I go and fight?" That was the makeup of these kings. Let's ask the Lord, "Shall I stand up and fight for that one?" He didn't do this. It's coming on a nice plate for him. He doesn't want to do anything. Another one. Totally hopeless. Where does that come from? Again, if you push down to a little bit after verse 23 we read, this woman came to him. "King, can you help me?" His answer was amazing. If the Lord didn't help you, how I can help you? What is your problem? "Oh, me and this woman, we decide we will kill my son to eat him today, and she will kill her son to eat him tomorrow." Oh. I cannot do anything about that one. I cannot even provide anything for you. And suddenly, he decided to blame somebody else. Oh, that prophet, he used to tell me, go to this spot and do this, this, and this, and that. He's not telling me what to do with this situation we are in. Therefore, oh, I blame that prophet. What he did here, he come to all this character he has, and he didn't walk on them. He didn't walk as David walked. He didn't choose to walk in his DNA and character. He didn't. He chose to do something totally different. Because his way is not that way. Where does that come from again? Every time. And this king died and they buried him at the David city beside his fathers. But if it's a bad one, no, you just bury him and didn't even bother to cry. It's a way to honor that king because he's a walk on the steps of the David, the father. But when he doesn't, just don't bother. Again, the question is, are you walking on what God called you to do? This is the question. Is your eye opened on the quality and the personality and the DNA and the original design God gave you, and you are walking into that one or not? And here is the challenge. Is your eye open about who you are in Christ Jesus? Let's move to another character. The servant of Elisha. Okay, let's have a look to the list of how he should be looks like. A man who chose to serve the master or his master. A man who has a desire to learn from his master. A man has a patience to wait and remain with his master. A man who is able to lead his people. Where do these characters come from? Again, the same DNA, the same characteristic of that guy is the same guy who's called Joshua, long time ago. He was the servant of Moses. Sit. Moses, 40 days in the mountain, he's sitting there. Move. No, I am waiting for him. Go away. I am sitting there. Do something else in your life. He died up there. I'm waiting for him. He knows how to remain at his feet. He is willing to learn. This is the character and the DNA of that particular servant. What the guy did has become very focused on his own life. If you go back to 2 Kings 5, the story of Naaman, he said, Elisha doesn't want anything from him after he healed him from the leprosy. I will run and I'll get some money from this guy. Become self-focused, self-centered. He's not seeing anything else. He stopped there. How I can make the most from that particular relationship, being a servant of the most important person in Israel. And start being this. He start focus on himself. Two words I want you to take with you today. There is a big, great difference between a student and apprentice. Great, big difference between a student and apprentice. A student who able to learn. He has all the knowledge. He understands knowledge. He understands theory. But he cannot put it into practice. He knows it all. But he cannot put it in practice. Apprentice who is know his theory, he is knowledgeable, but he able to put this into practice. And here is the difference between I know that book, but I live this book. I am learning. I'm not there yet. How I will be apprentice? I know that in my work, and I have that in my college all the time. If I have apprentice, it's totally different than a full-time student. I know that very well. Because he knows how to put it in practice. What I am telling him, it doesn't make sense. If a full-time student, what do you mean? You try to explain that how you will do it on site. It's not appealing. It's not getting there. If you ask him, he will answer you a perfect answer because he knows it by book. But if you ask his apprentice, he will tell you why I am doing this because 1, 2, 3. Where he learned that from? Because he remained to his supervisor, sitting there, watching him doing it. He's learning from his boss. He knows what is going on. And here is the point is, what is your position today? Are you apprentice or a student? Is your eye open to who you are in Christ Jesus? Or you decide to be knowing it on paper? Another one. Somebody was preaching this one. He said, there is a great difference between a training ground and the battleground. I was in the army. I know that one. Train. Thankfully, we didn't have a battle. But I know what that means, to train. I know how can be very serious, even in your training, you feel like you are really in a real battle. But it's not yet. Where is your training place? Here. If you look to the last few months in the church, and the theory has been offered to us since January, and we're talking about your gift, and this and this and this, and all this stuff in what is happening. And that big picture was here, and you are trying to identify who you are. You remember that bit? It's to do with training ground. It's to do with training ground. And if you didn't give yourself a choice to take the training ground seriously, you will never be able to do it on the battlefield. You get it?
Yes.
Fantastic. If you didn't do it right, it will not work right. This is what the Lord is asking us to do as a church. The Lord have this word for Eli, and I will share that with you. I was talking to Karen about that one last week. When I came to Eli, almost coming to 2 years now, looking for houses and doing stuff. And one of the guys, we view his house, he said, Jenny, look to a nice magnolia tree in his garden. I said, oh, that looks beautiful. And the guy came to me and said, yeah, because the ground in Ely is amazing. It can be a normal conversation. But the Lord hit me with that word in my spirit about this nation, about this city. The ground is amazing, but we are not doing anything to it. Does that make sense? The ground is very strong, it's rich, but you are not doing all your work. just left it there. Is the Lord need to do something in Eli? Yes, he did. If the Lord want raise something in Eli, yes, he does. But where are my people to do so? Guess what he said in Isaiah? I ask for one man to stand. You remember this bit? But what the rest of it? Did I find one? The same question to you today. I ask for one man to stand before me for Eli. The answer is yours. You can say, open my eyes to see what's behind this. I like this Eli eye business we do here. But what I'm doing about it? It's a nice piece of information. Or I'm going to intercede and do some action here. Let's move on because of the time. Elijah, the prophet. That is for you today. A man who has a quality of a shepherd. God called him and asked Elijah to anoint him. He was have a big herd of ox and cows and whatever. I said, go to this guy, anoint him. Which he did with you. Yes? He anointed him, a man who has been anointed, the man who knows how to be apprentice. He spent 7 years with Elijah. Even to the last minute, Elijah told him, I'm going up to Jericho today. Can you just stay here and I will do that? No, I am following you. I'm remaining. I stuck with you. You know what Joshua did. I'm going to Jordan. I'm with you. Right? A man who understands the difference between training ground and battlefield. He saw his master, Elijah. Let fire come from heaven. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do this. Let's do this. He knows what his master is capable of on a training ground and on a battleground. A man who understands the power of God. Where does that come from? Oh, my axe fell in the water. Get a piece of wood and put it on top. Okay, I didn't hear that in physics before. And the thing floated up. It's just like, hello, it doesn't make any sense. Because he knows the power of God has nothing to do with any sense. He knows the power of God has nothing to do with any rules and regulation and whatever of this universe we are living in, because he's above that, and he knows it. Oh, give me a bowl, a bit of salt, and I will do it in Jericho and put it in some water there, and it will be fine. It doesn't make any sense. Salt and water, they don't go well. He knows the power of God. He understands that training and battleground. He understand where that relationship with God. He understand when he says something in the spirit, it will be happening. Why? Because he knows. He experiences. He walk with his master, knowing that this is the God of Israel I am serving. He understand his place and position in God. And he is willing to walk on the same way the Father is willing to walk. Does that make sense? He is going to his will. He knows. What I want to tell you today is one thing. New Testament, Jesus talked about the parable of the prodigal son, which I don't like that one bit. We'll call it the two sons. Two sons. They are living on the same house. Is not one of them sinner, and is not one of them is good. They are living in the same house. He's not a sinner. We always preach as a sinner. In the father house. The older son, do everything according to the butler of the house doing. Working hard and doing everything, and he tried to please. But when it comes to the crunch, oh, you prefer him more than me, why the father answer him? Can you remember that? It's one phrase. All what I have, did you hear it? All what I have is?
Yours.
What is your position on the father house? Are you a butler or a son? All what I have is?
Yours.
Do you believe it? The other guy, the younger one, is we call him a sinner. No, he's not actually. Well, a guy who understands his inheritance. He get it in. He knows what he is capable of. He understands, I have inheritance. I have the right of this inheritance on my father's house. Yeah. He done all the wrong stuff. But this is a training ground. Because the father was willing to have him back again. You done it wrong last time. There's training ground. Let's work on the battlefield. But what is the point is, he understands the inheritance. He understands what he has in his father's house. I'm not saying go and do the same like him. It's not the point. The point is, I know who I am. And even when he said, oh, how many servants in my father's house, they eat and they have more than enough, and I'm here, I'm starving, hungry. He understands his position in the father house, how it looks like. And the point is here, even if you feel you have been drifting away and you are not in the right place, that come on, let's fix this one. Yesterday I was hearing something and that it's really open my eyes, and that's what I'm going to close with. Back to the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done as in heaven, on earth. This guy preached, he said something yesterday. I was in the kitchen doing something, and I'm just hearing that on YouTube. And he said something, and it made total sense. He said, if you see it in the heaven, it will be on earth. What the example he gave? He said, when God gave Moses the order of how this tent looks like, the measurement and everything, he take him up there and he show it to him. And he give him the details of that tent, how it looks like. And when he came down, listen to this one very carefully. When he came down to do exactly what God said, he said, when he completed the tent, the glory of God came. What I want to mean here, you need to see it in the spirit. This is where you remain and sit with him. To see it, your eye will be open in the spirit, like Elisha and Elijah, both of them. You will see it in the spirit. He saw the battle was bad. He saw it in the heavens. And when he came down and put the altar correctly, the glory of God came. Do you get it? Same thing. If you see it in heaven, it will be on earth. This is what Elijah said. He see it in heaven, and he prayed for his servant to see it and become on earth. Does that make sense? Therefore, my invitation for you guys is, and I need it. I need it more than anybody else in this room. I really need it more than anybody else in this room. And it's not just a word. I really need it more than anybody else. Hungry for it. To see it in heaven. And when it happened here in Ely, he will be glorified. Does that make sense? Can I ask you to stand up again one more time? But this time, I want you to pray with one of the guys around. Said, Lord, open my eyes. You prayed for yourself, and the other person will say amen to that. Because you are talking about yourself this time. It's not you are talking to somebody else. Open my eyes to see what's in the heavens and have it here. What's in your plan? Your well. What is your well? And it will be here. Can we do this one? Can we just pray for yourself and the other one will say amen to your prayer? Okay? Can you find a partner to pray with, please?